This is Bronco Tuesday, taking a look at Boise State Athletics with coaches and players. Now here's Bob Beeler, Chris Walton, and Paul Jay on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
And top of the morning, golf in the house this morning. Women's golf, Nicole Bird, in her 10th season as head coach of the program, joined by senior golfer Genevieve Ling from Malaysia and senior Dana Clary from Cedar Park, Texas. Morning, ladies.
Morning.
Now, did I see a picture of you guys playing beach volleyball? Did I see that?
You did.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Why?
Well, why not?
Does it get you more in tune with the sand traps? Is that what it is?
We should have hit out of those. It was just, we took the volleyball team out to hit balls last year to kind of teach them a little bit about golf. And so then they reciprocated with us yesterday and just kind of change it up and do something different.
That's good for, I mean, you know, it's like cross training, right?
It is.
Yeah. You like it?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was my first time playing. It was very interesting. It's definitely not like golf.
So who was good?
One of our freshmen actually played in high school, and so she was pretty good. I think Dana did pretty good. And then we had a sophomore. Kinsley has played before as well.
It's similar to golf in that you hit the ball and then are all mad because of where it went.
Exactly.
You got to like that. Nicole, entering your 10th year, what do you expect from this team? Give us a little bit of the makeup of the team.
We have a lot of experience at the top with the three seniors, but then we're pretty young after that. We don't have any juniors, and we have two sophomores who played a little bit last year, and we have two freshmen who are starting to get some experience. So it's a really good mix. It's the smallest team that we've ever had, but the team chemistry is really, really good, and this team has more heart than any team I've ever had play for us, and they want it really bad, and I know they're going to work really hard, and you know, our ultimate direction we're heading is hopefully towards regionals, and we're off to a rough start, but we have a lot of time to work on it and figure things out, and hopefully by the end of the season we're where we want to be.
Dana and Genevieve, as Coach mentioned, you guys are both seniors. How much better are you now, and what do you know about college golf that you didn't know when you got here, what, 3.5 years ago?
I mean, I think it would probably be easier to come up with a list of things that we don't know or didn't know coming in.
Well, I didn't know anything about college golf, so everything has been an experience. But I think now I've matured so much, not just in life, but in my game, like learning to live by myself and do everything by myself. It has helped me a lot in my game as well because I learned how to make decisions quick, too. So, yeah.
What's the biggest difference, Nicole, when you've got a freshman, you've said you got a couple freshmen that haven't played, and you have some veterans. What's the biggest difference between golfers over that 3 or 4 year span usually?
The biggest difference, I think, is just adjusting to how it works. High school golf is totally different than college golf. In high school golf, the coaches usually can't coach. There's not a lot of hands-on experience. They don't practice the way that we practice just because of their school schedules and things like that. And so teaching them how to practice effectively and then kind of how we operate on the road is probably the biggest difference, I would say.
What's the most common mistake that they make? Not practicing enough, not practicing the right things. I know when I practice golf, I do what I can do, you know.
Everybody likes to practice what they're good at.
Yeah, say I can chip pretty well.
Yep.
I don't think I'll drive today.
No, they you know, in junior golf, they spend a lot of time on the driving range. And to get to college, to that level, they have to be good ball strikers. So we don't need to spend a whole lot of time hitting balls on the range. They are good ball strikers. They're pretty consistent. We need to spend more time on short game, course management, and the mental aspect of it.
Okay, Dana, how much is mental? I know you can get the yips and all of that, but I mean, like reading greens and, you know, all of that. How much is mental?
I guess I suppose if you're talking only about like taking into consideration like wind and the break of a putt and the outside agencies.
Altitude, things like that.
Yeah. That is probably, I'd say, about 60-40, but, or actually maybe 75-25. But if you're talking about the mental part about getting the yips or just thinking about where you don't want to go, which is terrible, don't do that. then I definitely think the game is 99% mental and 1% actual golf.
Genevieve, some of the tournaments, you go to the same places every year, and sometimes you go to new places. When you're going back, this is possibly maybe your fourth time playing a course. What do you remember from before, and how does that help you in preparation for, the fourth time you're going to play a tournament at a particular course?
Well, one thing we learn in mental training, it's like you replay the shots that are good, and that's one of the things that you can definitely get from playing courses that you've already played before. You can go to a hole and remember, oh, like we went to Colorado the other day, and Dana was like, oh, I made an eagle in this hole. And it immediately gives you that good memories and gives you, I think, a sense of what you can achieve out there.
Okay, we need to take a break. We're talking with women's golf coach Nicole Bird is here, along with Genevieve Ling and Dana Clary. It's 8:45.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
We're with golf this morning. Nicole Bird, 10th season head coach of BSU Women's Golf. Genevieve Ling, a senior from Selangor, Malaysia. And Dana Clary from Cedar Park, Texas, with us this morning. Let's talk a little bit about your schedule. How do you feel about your schedule this year? And how tough is it to schedule golf?
Once you get into some tournaments, you pretty much get invited back to those tournaments each year if you perform pretty well. And most of ours are pretty regional, I would say. But so scheduling is not necessarily the toughest part, just kind of figuring out how we want to make it work. Spreading it out so that they can actually go to class in between tournaments is kind of helpful. But our schedule this year, I would say, is one that we can be competitive in. It's maybe not quite as strong as it has been in the past, just the way that it worked out. Our first tournament in Colorado was probably the strongest field that we'll face, but I feel like we can be competitive in all the rest of the tournaments that we play.
Who have you got coming up next? You're going to be in Aurora, Oregon.
Yes.
And that's up near Salem and in Portland, in that area.
Yes, it's just south of Portland.
Who all is going to be there?
Portland State is the host, and then we'll see some people that we haven't seen yet. We'll see some schools from California. I think Cal State Northridge will be there. Cal State Fullerton will be there. We'll see Seattle. We haven't seen them yet. A lot of West Coast schools will probably be the ones that are there. Oregon State was in Colorado. We did see them, as well as Portland State. So there'll be a couple that we've already played.
So, Dana, for the players, what makes a fun tournament? I mean, obviously winning would be fun, but is there certain things that what they do at the tournament, where it is, what makes a tournament fun to play in?
I think, honestly, the thing that makes the tournaments the most fun is really the interactions that you have with your teammates. Mm-hmm. As far as, like, what the tournament does for that is, like, sometimes they'll host dinners, and those are really fun. You get to talk with your team, and then there's other teams around as well. The food's always nice. And, you know, some of them will have, like, milkshakes and ice cream. But, yeah.
Genevieve, what's the best tournament you've played in that you've enjoyed the most?
Probably Hawaii.
There you go.
It kind of reminded me of home, and it was a totally different atmosphere. But, I mean, you're in Hawaii, so it's not much to complain about.
And, Nicole, I guess weather, and you go to different spots. I mean, you got a tournament in Texas, you got a tournament in Oregon. You're going to get a lot of different weather from those various tournaments.
Yes, when we play our practice round in Colorado, it was actually 90 degrees, and then the final round was about 50 degrees and raining. So it can be anything, and it looks like Portland is going to be warm for our practice day, and then there's a chance of rain, but you never know what to expect. We pack everything. We take huge suitcases with every piece of weather gear you could imagine and just play through it.
No home tournaments, no home matches.
No home matches.
How tough is that?
It's everybody likes to play at home and the courses that we're used to. But in Boise, the only time you're guaranteed the best weather is September. And there's too many other good tournaments around the country in September. Everybody wants to host then. So it just makes it really hard to get a good field here.
Lady, let's find out a little bit more about you, Dana. You came from Texas near Austin. Tell us a little bit about why you came to Boise State, what you're majoring in, and maybe what you want to do in the future.
I think I didn't want to go to school in Texas because I wanted to be away from my parents. And not
who are now listening.
I know. But they know this, too. And it's not because I don't want to see them. I love them to death. But I wanted that a smoother transition into the real world, but also have, like, some sort of midpoint where I could still fall back on them, but I couldn't go home every weekend. Mm-hmm. And they know that, and they think that was a smart decision, even though they hate that I'm never home.
I think a lot of people come to Idaho to prepare to go back to the real world.
Yeah. As far as my major, I'm a health science studies major, and I'm pre-med. And then I'm hopefully going to get a minor in biology. We'll see. I got to go to my academic advisor and talk to her about that a little bit. And then I think I haven't taken the MCAT yet, which is unusual. So I'm not applying for medical school next year. I'm going to take a gap year, so that I have time to study for the MCAT and still be able to focus on golf.
Okay, we need to take a break. It's 8:53.
Hey, Bronco Nation, Coach Harsin here. It's tailgate time once again, and that means one thing. Fire up that grill. And when you're ready to fill that grill, make sure you stop by your local Albertsons. Whether it's poultry, seafood, or delicious Double R Ranch USDA choice beef, Albertsons has you covered. Plus, they've got delicious dips, fruits, and veggies hand-prepared in-store daily. With a little help from Albertsons, you're guaranteed to be a tailgate master. Shop Albertsons today, and go Broncos.
Jump farther, climb higher, and save more. With Mountain America's Epic Balance Transfers, you'll get a 3% cash bonus. Simply transfer a loan balance to a Mountain America Visa credit card, and we'll pay you 3% of the transferred amount. It's a great opportunity to switch to a lower rate, consolidate debt, and save money on monthly payments. But it's only available through September 30th. Get started at macu.com or in our mobile banking app. Unapproved credit, federally insured by NCUA.
Calling all binge watchers and playlist masters. T-Mobile does data differently. Stream all the video and music you want without using any of your LTE data. That's YouTube, Netflix, Pandora, and more. For free. Make the switch today and we'll even pay off your phones and annual contracts. Up to $650 or more per line when you trade in your smartphone. Hurry into a T-Mobile store to switch today. Detectable video typically streams at 480p on qualifying plan on our network. Third-party subscription charges may apply. Switching fees via trade-in credit and prepaid MasterCard card. Allow 8 weeks. See data management practices at T-Mobile.com.
Why do I drink milk?
Milk rehydrates my body after I work out.
Milk has the protein I need to build muscle.
Milk helps me maintain a lean body mass.
Milk helps my muscles recover and stay strong.
Milk has the carbohydrates I need to re-energize.
Milk replaces important electrolytes that I lose when I sweat.
As an athlete at Boise State,
I learned that every sip is a victory.
What do you drink?
What do you drink?
What do you drink?
Milk Victory. Brought to you by United Dairymen of Idaho.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday with Chris, Paul, and Bob on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back with women's golf coach Nicole Bird, Genevieve Ling, and Dana Clary. Genevieve, you got 5 seconds. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I came to Boise State because I wanted something different, and Boise is completely different from Malaysia. I wanted a different experience. I love to coach, obviously, and I'm so grateful because I've had an awesome team. But I'm a comm major, and I'm planning on turning pro next year.
All right, nice.
And we've got to mention, 3.57 GPA, couple pre-meds. You got some great girls on the team.
We do, and we have 3 academic All-Americans.
There you go. All right, and you got a coach's show.
Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We've got Scott Huff, Jeremy McNichols, and Jonathan Moxie this week, along with Coach Harsin.
And football action coming up on Saturday afternoon as well. KBOI News Time, 8:56. Idaho Talks Live coming up after news at the top of the hour. Another FanDuel guy has won $1 million playing in a FanDuel tournament.
How do you do that?
I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back. A lot of other interesting stuff happening today on the campaign trail and on the rumor trail as well. 8:56 and Idaho Talks Live coming up next. Don't forget, Coach's Show at what time?
7 o'clock Thursday.
7 o'clock on Thursday, live right here on News Talk 670 KBOI. Ball game, pregame starts Saturday at 8 a.m. Kickoff at 1:30.
I think it's 8:30 pregame, I think.
8:30 pregame. So they're going to take that half hour. Jeff Kays is lazy. It's 8:56. We'll be back.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
As President Obama gives his final address to the United Nations, we'll get to the really important stuff. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are getting divorced. This is one of the weirdest things.
That's really a shame.
One of the weirdest things ever. Angelina Jolie has filed for divorce from husband Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
Pitt and Jolie got married in 2014. Listen to the timing of all of their stuff. Their relationship became the subject of speculation in 2004 when they made that horrid movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Right.
At the time, Pitt was married to Jennifer Aniston. In January 2005, Pitt and Aniston announced they were splitting. Aniston filed for divorce a few months later. Back to 2004, photos surfaced of Pitt, Jolie, and her adopted son, Maddox, in Kenya. Jolie later adopted daughter Zahara from Ethiopia, and in early 2006, she announced that she and Pitt were expecting a baby. Shortly thereafter, Pitt was granted the right to legally adopt Maddox and Zahara. Their daughter, Shiloh, was born in May of 2006, and son, Pax, was adopted from Vietnam in March of 2007. Jolie gave birth to twins Vivian and Knox in July of 2008. Six kids. 4 years later, they announced their engagement.
So three. Well, and there was a purpose for that. I think they were one of those couples that said they weren't going to get married until gays could get married.
Whatever.
And then we finally did.
The couple announced that it ends up, it doesn't matter. Couple announced their engagement in 2012 and got married in 2014 in the village of Corins, France.
And apparently that was the beginning of the end?
Apparently. Now it's over. Because they were together a long time.
It just says irreconcilable differences, so it could be practically anything.
Yeah, he's still making movies she isn't. That's irreconcilable differences.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't know them.
You always wonder, can't you just take a few million dollars and settle your differences?
It was...
Well, yes, but we'll do it in court and then we'll split out forever.
Each of you live in your own zip code.
When Sonny and Cher got, you know, divorced, that was a huge deal because they'd had a hit show for about 3 years at that point. And then they announced they were getting divorced. And shortly thereafter, she was dating and then married to Greg Allman. And Sonny, you know, had a girlfriend almost immediately. And they were all living in a house together.
Yeah.
It's like one of them was living in the East Wing and one in the West Wing.
Yeah. Then Sonny skied into a tree and it was all over.
Yeah, that... It wasn't his best moment. Yeah. It was his last.
Yeah. So anyway, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, sadly gone.
Yeah, we're all broken up.
Weird
about it here.
Family, you know, due to the number of kids, all before they were married. I don't know.
Well,
None of my business.
So they had three adopted, one from Asia, two from Africa, and then they had three natural childbirth kids, including
twins.
A pair of twins. Yeah,
yeah.
A boy and a girl. So six children. I mean, it's too bad, you know, for the sake of the kids. But, you know, I mean, the good news is they're not going to starve.
No. And, you know, both of them have made tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. So,
yeah. So
high profile.
Regardless of who raises them now, they'll be well taken care of.
Yeah.
In case that was everybody's, you know.
Still kind of a shame because they, you know, well, they actually haven't been married that long.
Well, true.
2 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you consider how long they've been acting
all
as a family.
History they've had.
Yeah, they've
been married 2 years.
They've been acting like they were a family for 12 years, but technically only married for two.
That's just not right somehow. And it all started to fall apart, as Chris said.
But that's so much.
At the chapel in Chateau Miraval in Corins, France.
Yeah, really, if you go back, it's the influence of Sonny and Cher.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It has to be difficult to maintain a marriage, I guess, if you're both actors, because so many
successful.
Well, yeah, because so many successful actors have been married just, you know, multiple times, even ones that you wouldn't think have.
Yeah, there, actors are different people. I've known a few, and none like these. Not well, yeah, real high profile.
They spend most of their time pretending to be somebody else. So yeah, I suppose they are kind of different.
Well, and waiting for the phone to ring.
Well, there's that.
I mean, seriously, waiting for the phone to ring. They're worse than musicians, and musicians are pretty bad. Musicians. I told my daughter.
Well, you mean as far as having a job now and then not having one for a while, then having one? And, you
told
know.
My daughter, never let a musician move in with you.
Yeah.
You'll never get rid of them.
That was, you know, Rocky Johnson that is for years now, like 30-some years, has been the lead singer down at of the band down at Hannah's.
Yeah.
Used long time ago, they were called the Secret Agents, and then they were called Rocky and the Agents, and then they've been the Rocky Johnson Band for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me, she said, what do you call a drummer without a girlfriend? And the answer is homeless.
Homeless, yeah. Basically true. All right. We're going to move on to more important things, maybe less shocking.
Yeah.
Pitt and Jolie's 2-year marriage is over. It cracks me up. It's 9:13.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
Oh, you're right.
KBOI News Time, 9:18. KBOI Rewards Code, Divorce.
D-I-V-O-R-C-E. Big number one country hit for
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse. Yeah, exactly.
All right, divorce.
And she got divorced.
She did.
At least 5 times.
Yeah. How many?
Six.
Yeah. All right, 6 times. So go to 670kboi.com, enter divorce, earn today's 5,000 rewards points. All right. Kmart. You know, a lot of the big, I guess, what do you call them, big box stores
department stores, discount stores.
Discount stores. Kmart, the mass merchandise retail chain struggling with listing sales, is going to close 64 stores across the U.S.
Now, they've done that not that long ago, about, less than a year ago.
They closed one on Park Center, right?
They've closed a few of them in the Boise area.
Yeah. Liquidation sales will begin September 22nd. The stores will close their doors in mid-December.
That seems like a weird time to do it.
Yeah, keep them open till Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say, make some money and close them in mid-January.
This is according to the person who did not want to be named because they were not allowed to say so publicly.
Mm-hmm.
It's the latest round of cuts by the retailer. Its parent company, Sears, of course.
Yeah.
Said in April it would close 68 Kmart stores this summer. Both Sears and Kmart have had a difficult time remaining profitable and competitive in a retail environment increasingly dominated by other mass market chains and e-commerce sites like Amazon. So it's your fault, Chris. You're ruining all of these stores.
Yeah, I probably am.
The latest closures include 17 stores that were among 235 sold last year by Sears to Seritage. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
The deal included a provision that allowed Sears Holdings to lease those locations back from Seritage, but also to have the option to vacate the lease if the store was losing money. I got questions for you coming up here.
All right.
As such, we have informed Seritage that we will soon be exiting 17 Kmart stores, said Sears Holdings spokesman Howard Reifs. We've been strategically and aggressively evaluating our store space and productivity, and we'll be accelerating the closing of unprofitable stores, as we have previously announced. Sears has been shedding real estate to come up with cash. Dwindling sales have taken a toll. I was trying to remember the last time I went in the Sears store.
Yeah.
And my mom used to work for Sears. We used to shop Sears all the time when I was a kid. It's amazing.
I don't remember the last time. With me, it's different, though. I never go shopping. Mm. So, yeah, it's just one of the many stores that I at which I do not shop.
Yeah. Other recent announcements. Macy's says it will close 100 of its 675 stores. Sports Authority will close 460 stores.
You think it's Amazon?
They filed for a Chapter 11. I'm going to ask you a question about
that.
Walmart closing 269 stores, including 154 in the U.S. Aeropostale, or whatever that is.
Aeropostale, yeah.
Closing 154 stores. This thing just keeps resetting them. It's driving me nuts here. But anyway, obviously a major trend of major
retailers. I mean, because Kmart, Macy's, Walmart, Sports Authority, and Aeropostale, major retailers. Who apparently aren't making any money.
Yeah. So my question to you is, is it only a matter of time till we don't have malls? Is it only a matter of time till we don't have Walmarts, Kmarts?
Well, I don't know. There's a certain
Sears,
now, like you Macy's. You don't shop online.
I don't.
And I would assume there are
a lot
of people.
I'm old.
I would assume there are a lot of people like you, though, who would prefer to go out, you know.
I got to pick it up.
And, yeah.
Pick
it up. Put your hands on it.
Yeah,
See it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
As opposed to just, you know, having something described to you in a few words and then hoping it shows up like you want.
Yeah. But see, my demographic is, we got the money, but we don't got the, you know, we have everything we need to buy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, a certain number of people, I mean, they're obviously they didn't grow up with computers.
Right.
And plenty of people already had careers where it wasn't necessary to switch to computers or use them. And so, you know, exactly. There are plenty of people in your age bracket who have never really, you know, become proficient with any kind of computer.
Well, I can do that. I know how to shop
online. I know you. You know how to do lots of stuff
on the computer. I just don't do it.
I'm just saying there are a lot of people in your age bracket, though, who aren't too proficient at it simply because they didn't grow up with it and it was introduced to them, you know, much, much later in life.
Yeah.
But they, I'm guessing, still shop a lot and would prefer to do so without using a computer.
Yeah, that's my deal. I just want to try on the shirt before I buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's like, I think I'll buy that car over there. Do you want to drive it? Nah.
So I don't.
Nah.
You know, and I
don't want to drive
I
it.
Can sit here and tell you that, no, I think the malls will be fine and I think the big discount stores will be fine. But you just read me statistics where Kmart, Macy's, and Walmart aren't doing that well.
Yeah, it's Sports Authority. Aeropostale.
Aeropostale. Yeah, that's it's trendy clothing for young hipsters.
Yeah.
And I think.
They had a sign in the window the other day when I was walking in the mall, said, everything must go. I went, what? But I think it was just a sale.
Oh, it might have been closing time.
Might have been summer stuff.
The closing time, they say everyone must go.
If you were a sales guy, I know a guy who works for Macy's, 80 years old. It's all he knows how to do. He's been a salesman forever.
Does he enjoy it?
I guess. He's still doing it. And his wife keeps saying, get him to quit. Get him to quit. Why don't you? He'll listen to you. Talk to him. Get him to quit. I'm going, I'm not going to tell him to quit.
You get him to quit. You're his wife.
Exactly. If you can't get him to quit, how am I going to get him to quit?
Exactly. You know more than I do.
And maybe he feels that if he doesn't have anything to get up for, you just ping.
And a lot of people,
a lot of people say, you know, retirement, one foot in the grave.
You know, and you're lucky, I think, if you have spent your life doing something that you didn't want to retire from. But I don't think everybody has that luxury.
But my question is, if you were a salesperson like he is, and you see all these stores closing, wouldn't that be handwriting on the wall?
It would. But
say if you were 28 years old.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you were young enough to do something else.
Yeah, it's 9:26. We'll be back. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live
today at 1:00. Listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Paul, Jay, and Chris, we are back. It's time for the third annual Boise State Watch Party at the Village Cinema.
This is going to be fun.
Yep, Saturday.
For those of you who are not driving and or flying to Corvallis.
Yep. Against Oregon State of the Pac-12, the only way to win tickets is from 670 KBOI and right now.
We would like you to be caller number 7 right now, and here's the number to call, 336-3711, 336-3711. Caller number 7 will have a pair of tickets to see the game on the big screen at the Village Cinema.
Brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. Used cars, they're just better.
That's caller number 7 right now, 336-3711.
All right, let's go to the phones and Gary of Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
You know, earlier, Chris, you were saying to Paul that not everybody is comfortable with computers. I want to talk about a little bit of technology that's coming here soon.
Okay.
First of all, kind of a case in point. How many years have we been calling Domino's for pizza? And I believe Schwan's Food has been around a long, long time.
Good point. They bring the food right to your house.
Right. So when we look at this thing on retails, malls, you know, things like that, you know, as they priced up the cost of labor by, you know, social pressures, the minimum $10 wage and all of that, you see that they're even starting to automate the back end and the front end of fast food restaurants. And what's happening is not only is there a lack of employment availability for the bottom of the skilled workers or the least skilled workers, that is being replaced, those things. Even the data entry clerk with computers, as the rise of learning programs go on, data entry is not even going to be important anymore. And at some point, there's going to be some more changes like there have been all through the Industrial Revolution.
It's true. Now, we're going to morph into something. We always seem to. But until we do, what are these people going to do for money?
You know, that's the interesting gap that's presenting itself right now. By the way, when I listen to all the commercials and I like them on your radio station, the one thing that I have in mind is the fact I don't think that at this point we're anywhere close to automating the host of a radio talk show like you guys are. I think you have the most secure jobs that in the highest levels of artistry and science and, you know, medicine are about the only jobs that are really secure at this point.
Now, you talked about delivering stuff and having stuff delivered to your home. You know, yeah. A major chain, Albertsons, advertising everywhere that they're now starting home delivery. Are we going to be more service-oriented? Or are we going to have just regional storage places for Kmart or Walmart or whatever, and then you call in and they bring the stuff to your home from the regional hub?
Well, the Federal Aviation Administration has allowed rules for drones for use by companies like Amazon. You know, at some point,
too easy to steal your stuff, Gare.
Well, I don't know. And, I mean, even Uber is using driverless cabs.
Yeah, not for me, they're not.
I don't think that stores will completely go away, at least some kinds of stores, simply because there are always going to be people who need it right now or need it today.
Yeah.
And if you order something, you can't have it today, you know, unless it's a pizza or something like that.
Or unless they become easier delivery because of drones. You know, the technology is changing, too, and our paradigms will shift.
Yeah, that's true. But I hate to be a naysayer, but I just think using drones to deliver stuff would drive the price so high. And, you know, the guy's sitting in cars waiting for a drone to come by to steal your stuff.
You know, I wonder, because of the fact that labor is such a large component of most of the cost of goods, that when you eliminate that, you can add a lot of places within the chain at a reasonable cost and keep the price about the same.
Well, that might be true. What about people shooting down drones?
You know, I think that at some point, not only drones, but you have the driverless cars. And, you know, I'm going to point out one that's really strange. At some point in the future, we might all have 3D printers in our house, and certain inorganic items that we would like to have could just be printed out and made right in our house.
Yeah, and that could be possible.
It's starting to sound like the Jetsons.
And that's kind of the deal. That's kind of where he's saying we're going. But thankfully, I probably won't be here then, Gare.
You don't know. They're also talking about prolonging the life greatly.
Well, maybe I will be here
downloading
then.
Downloading your consciousness into some kind of machine like the people like Elon Musk are talking about and, Stephen Hawking's, although, I have some spiritual and philosophical problems with that, a lot of them, in fact.
Well, a lot of people will have that.
But the fact is, who knows where this new paradigm will take us?
Yeah. A robot, Paul J. Let's go to Gary and Emmett. Gary, how are you?
Fine. Thank you.
That's a good point, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. That could be the radio show of the future. Oh, man. Yeah,
it's going to be somewhat entertaining. I appreciate the call, Gary. Thanks.
KBOI News Time, 9:44.
The driver of an SUV who hit a pedestrian over the weekend has now been arrested and charged with aggravated DUI. Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI. Back to Paul Jay and Chris.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:47. Although we're talking basically about retail, all that kind of stuff today, and you kind of brought this up on the morning news. Can't remember if it was yesterday or today. I think it was today, about paying attention to what kind of meat you buy at the grocery store. People buy organic, grass-fed, cage-free. But when you go to McDonald's or your favorite fast food joint, do you know or even care what you're getting?
Well, to a certain extent, I think everyone cares.
Well, I mean, they just want it not to kill them.
Exactly. Don't give me something that will, cause my imminent death.
Yeah, don't give me sawdust.
Yeah.
A collaborative new report ranks the 25, and you're going to be amazed here,
all right,
25 largest U.S. fast food and fast casual restaurant chains on their antibiotics policies and practice. For the second year in a row, the top honors go to, who do you think?
Subway.
Panera Bread.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Chipotle, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, huh? Good for them.
The one that had all the bad publicity and had so many of their stores
apparently
changed because of salmonella.
Apparently that has been corrected.
Mm-hmm. 16 of the 25 chains received a grade of F.
Really?
Which is an improvement over last year.
9 passed and 16 didn't?
Yeah. That's an improvement over last year. 9 companies didn't respond to the survey.
Hmm.
The report called Chain Reaction 2.
So 16 got an F and 9 didn't respond?
Yeah. Is co-authored.
So nobody passed.
Nobody except for Panera Bread and Chipotle Mexican Grill.
Okay, there you are.
Huh?
Yeah.
The report called Chain Reaction 2, co-authored by 6 nonprofit activist organizations. And my question is, why in the world, if you weren't certain you were going to win, why would you respond to this?
Good point.
Huh?
Yeah, like you open up the mail. Here's an opportunity to, lose millions of dollars in business. Yeah.
6 nonprofit activist organizations, including Natural Resources Defense Council, Consumers Union, and Friends of the Earth. It seeks to sound the alarm about the overuse of antibiotics in poultry and livestock, typically to help them survive and make them grow faster in unsanitary, crowded, and stressful conditions. Now, I raise my own beef, and it's taken a long time this year.
I raise it from, the plate to my mouth.
Because I've got an anorexic steer.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, I don't really. It's just... I was younger than I thought he was when I bought him. This misuse of antibiotics contributes to antibiotic resistance, the ability of bacteria, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Yeah.
How did your favorite food fare?
Well, are they ranked 1 through 25?
Well, they just got Panera and Chipotle remaining the only two.
That passed.
That report, they currently offer an array of meat options.
Really?
produced without routine use of antibiotics, including pork and beef.
We've got Panera now. There's one on Eagle Road, I know.
Yeah, but see, they just keep banging on these two.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the rest.
All right.
Subway jumped from a grade F all the way up to a B on account of it being the only restaurant chain to adopt a new antibiotics policy.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, they really, the ones that didn't reply, KFC, Arby's, Denny's, Little Caesars, Burger King, Dunkin' Donuts, Buffalo Wild Wings, Chili's, Domino's, Olive Garden, Applebee's, IHOP, Dairy Queen, Starbucks, Sonic, Jack in the Box.
So we're just better off not knowing.
Yeah, I don't see McDonald's in here anywhere.
Huh.
Chick-fil-A, one of the first companies to announce a good antibiotics use policy in 2014, also gets a B. McDonald's, C+. For completing its transition of its chicken supply and reporting an impressive 100% of the chicken served is now raised without antibiotics. Wendy's got a C. Taco Bell got a C-. Pizza Hut and Papa John's received Ds for making token efforts. 16
see,
of the...
I feel like I owe it to these places to find out for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's start eating our way down.
Yeah.
Start alphabetically.
It'll be lunchtime soon.
This thing goes on and on and on. And after a while, you just go, shut up. Give me a cheeseburger.
Got some instant messages here before we finish up today. Kevin says, what is the difference between waiting for a drone to fly by versus a delivery truck to drive past? And frankly, people shooting them down will go to jail as it is a felony. Good point. I mean, it's still against the law.
We're just gonna
speculating that people might do it.
We were teasing.
Francis and McCall says, premium gas. I have switched to Sinclair, no ethanol premium. I have MPG readout in my van. My gas mileage has gone from 19 to 20 miles per gallon to average 26 to 28 miles per gallon, even with mountain driving. Driving on the freeway is up to 32 to 36 miles per gallon. I figured it out mathematically. And I come out ahead financially with premium. Okay, good idea. Dave of Boise says that's because it's half crazy to buy from a brick and mortar store, talking about the retail. They have all the overhead, so they have to charge more. You can virtually get anything these days delivered right to your door for less than an actual store. The postage is the new scam, but I think everything will be free shipping in the future, and that will take care of that.
But they'll just add it to the price.
Things are changing without a doubt, and soon there will be no stores at all. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I think technology is ruining this country, but that's for another day.
Well,
now, as I said, though, there are always going to be things that you need them right now and you forgot them.
Well,
and where
yeah.
do you go? You can't order it in the mail.
And there'll be people like me who need to touch.
Yeah. H.G. of McCall says, oh, how I miss F.W. Woolworth, but I've heard Monkey Ward's is still in business, right?
Yep.
Guilty as charged. I do shop online, but I love to go into a good retail store. My favorite, Fred Meyer, part of Kroger, so maybe they will stay in business.
Yeah. Home Depot for my wife.
Yeah.
She loves Home Depot.
And Bob reminded us that Pitt is divorcing Jolie because she had her breasts removed for no good reason.
We don't know that.
It was kind of odd, though. She said, based on her family history, she thought she was susceptible to breast cancer, and so she had them removed, ahead of time.
And that started kind of a minor thing of women doing that, which has since gone away, I think. All right, 9:55, something to think about with Mike Rogers coming up next, brought to you by Boise Church of Christ for Church's Family. Check them out on the World Wide Web at boisechurch.org.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Three attacks in three cities this past weekend. In Minnesota, Saturday night in a shopping mall, a knife-wielding terrorist in a security guard uniform shot at Allah Akbar as he stabbed 9 people. In New York, 2 homemade bombs were set off Saturday night. One did, injuring 29. Fortunately, the other did not and was discovered. In New Jersey, a bomb also went off, this one during a Marine Corps charity race. Three pipe bombs were placed inside garbage cans. Luckily, the race started late and the bombs went off with no one around. The New York and New Jersey bombs were sophisticated by design, using remote triggering devices to set them off. Somebody certainly knew how to build them. When terrorists have time and space to plan, they can offer advice and counsel on how to build bombs and do other things, like the Boston Marathon bombers. Or offer inspiration, like they did in San Bernardino, in Minnesota, in Orlando. Every day we wait to destroy ISIS is another day likely for an attack. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.